Right? Another form of this of the specialness, which we call spiritual specialness, is when you have such an experience, and when people have an experience that transcends the world, like an otherworldly experience, it becomes so powerful in and of itself that it's very hard not to have that be the be-all and end-all of your life. And it's easy to kind of get caught in the trap of wanting to have that experience again and again. The trap of that experience is that when you return from it, it is very hard then not to judge this world. And when you judge something, whether you judge this world, you judge the body, or you judge another person, you give the ego a reality it doesn't have. It's one thing to say this world is not my home, because that's a fact. It's another thing to say this world is a horrid place. Or why do I have to be back in this body again? Or why can't I have that experience all the time? Because once you say that, you're saying there's a part of me that believes I'm here and I don't like it. Which you could only say if you believed it were real. So the experience one has as you make your way up the ladder, and certainly as you get to the upper reaches of the ladder, is that it is no longer an issue for you to be here, because increasingly you know you're not here. So what? It would make no sense to judge a state that you're not in. Or not only are you not in, but it doesn't exist. But when you find life in the body as horrid, as for example, many of the traditional mystics did, you know, especially if they were Christian, although this was not just within Christianity, but some of the more famous Christian mystics indulge in tremendous self-flagellation, where they kind of beat up on their bodies. They would starve it. They would sleep on stone, and they would wear hair shirts, and they wouldn't eat, or they would eat very, very little. And they would just do incredible self-torture as a way of fighting off the body. Right? And in fact, that's what Jesus is referring to in I Need Do Nothing, which is a section in chapter 18 of the text, where he talks about people who fight against sin. And he says they will win in they will achieve their goal in the end because their goal is correct to undo the world and leave the world, but they're certainly doing it in a circuitous route. They're taking a circuitous route. That it's much easier not to fight against sin. Much easier not to fight against sin by saying there is no sin. So why do I have to struggle? The problem is not my body. The problem is not my bodily attachments. It's not my bodily needs. The problem is simply that I think I'm a body. The problem is not what I'm dreaming. The problem is that I am dreaming. Just as right near the end of the text, Jesus says, the problem is not what you think. The problem is thinking. But we always end up fighting against our thoughts. You know, a lot of people, when they meditate, when they do the workbook, and all these funny thoughts come through their heads, and they want to fight them, the minute you fight it, you're lost. Because you're giving it a reality it doesn't have. That's where this course's process is so subtle, because it's not what it seems. Sure, Jesus tells us on almost every page that the world's an illusion, the body's an illusion, eyes don't see, ears don't hear, brains don't think. Bodies are not created by God. God is changeless and eternal. Bodies obviously change all the time and they die. Nonetheless, nowhere does Jesus say the body's evil. He calls it one place a rotting prison, but that's not from his perspective, that's from our perspective. Right, to him, the body's nothing. How could nothing be a rotting prison? How could it be a source of evil? How could it be sinful? It's just nothing. So when we fight against it, when we struggle against it, which many people do on the so-called spiritual journey, once again, you may end up in the right place, but it's going to take you a hell of a lot longer to get there. Right, because you're fighting the very thing that's inherently unreal. And the fighting it, the struggling against it, just again gives it a reality it doesn't have. This course only aims at changing our mind. It doesn't aim at changing our thoughts. It simply aims at changing whom we think with, the ego or the Holy Spirit. There's a big, big difference. You don't change your thoughts. Your thoughts are not the problem. In fact, the early workbook, in effect, says the thoughts you think are not your real thoughts. The thoughts you think are not your real thoughts. Well, if they're not your real thoughts, why bother with them? Choose your real thought, which within the dream, within the illusion, would be some form of forgiveness. So the spirituality of the Course is not that of struggling against the world, so one could have an experience of the other world, so to speak, the world of perfect oneness. It's in realizing that we're already in the world of perfect oneness. The beginning of chapter 28 says the world was over long ago. The thoughts that made it are no longer there. So you don't fight against that, you simply accept what already is. I mean, if the world were over long ago, and the thoughts that made it are gone, then that includes me. So I'm not the problem. How could this body be a problem? The problem is my mind that thinks I'm a body. That's the problem. In that same passage that says that the world was over long ago, it says, and the thoughts that made it are no longer there. The thoughts that made the world are the thoughts of guilt, and the thoughts are gone. And so the question Jesus asks right at the beginning of that chapter is then why do you want this? Why do you want to stay here? Right? In other words, why do you hold on to the guilt, which of course is what we all are holding on to, otherwise none of us would be here. Why would we hold on to the guilt unless we wanted the effects of the guilt? And the effects of guilt on the large scale, on the macrocosmic level, the effects of guilt are the world. And on the microcosmic level, the effects of guilt are the individual bodies that we think we inhabit. So why would you hold on to the guilt that's already undone and gone unless you wanted the effects? And that's the bottom line. Right? The only way one could really begin to understand what A Course in Miracles is saying is understanding how much we don't want to learn it. What Freud over 100 years ago called resistance. We are resistant to learning it because we still like the effects of our guilt. Why would you persist in holding on to your guilt, again, Jesus asked, unless you wanted its effect? I am the effect of guilt. If I let go of my guilt, which is what forgiveness leads me to, which is the process of ascending this ladder, if I let go of the guilt, there's no I anymore. You know, who would I be without my guilt? Who would I be without my self-hatred? And then all the forms that this takes. Who would I be without my problems? Who would I be without my past of victimization and abuse? Who would I be without my specialness? Who would I be without my current problems, my neuroses, my psychoses, my physical illnesses, my concerns, my needs, the ones I love, the ones I hate? Who would I be without all this? And the fundamental premise underlying all that is that guilt is real, and I want guilt to be real because I want the effect of guilt to be real. But that's the Course's spirituality.